This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
Another world, another time, in the age of wonder.
There was once a dream. You could only whisper it. Anything more than a whisper, and it would vanish.
A battle between good and evil.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
Where shall I find a new adversary so close to my own level?
Try the local sewer.
You know of the rebellion against the Empire?
The Avengers, Earth's mightiest heroes.
Peace means having a bigger stick than the other guy.
One of these days, I'm gonna have a stick of my own.
I'm Groot.
Welcome to the Neverland Podcast. The podcast for lovers of Disney, Pixar, Marvel, and Star Wars.
I'm glad you're here to tell us these things.
Please welcome your host, Jeremy.
I thought he'd be taller.
Yeah, I can fly.
All it takes is faith.
Rust. Well, if it isn't the Star-Spangled Man with a plan, what is your plan today?
Up to Neverland! Take your pixie out of your pockets, Neverlanders. Sprinkle some of that pixie dust around. Think that happiest thought. And let's fly to Neverland with me. I'm your head lost boy, Jeremy, also known as the Spider-Pan. And you're probably noticing the sound is weird. I brought my recorder over here, but I forgot to charge the battery. Because that's what happens. But we're over here with Phil again. Hey, Lost Boy Phil.
Hello there.
The Kryptonian. We're using my phone on interview mode, and I'm hoping this is going to sound good when I get the audio off of here later. But we're going to have a fun show. This is going to be a little bit different. I got a game for us to play, Phil. But first, before I get into it, I keep forgetting to mention this, but I found out the Spider-Man PS4 game has some new suits, which I just found out about. They've probably been out for a while. They have grabbed some Far From Home suits. So you've got the new black lining, upgraded suit. Also, you have the, they call it a stealth suit, but I called it the Spider-Noir suit because that's what they based it off
of.
But that's available, playable. Awesome. Also, the Fantastic Bagman you can play as the Fantastic Bagman, which for those that don't know, imagine Spider-Man whereas he needed to go out with the Fantastic Four, but he didn't have a suit because he'd given his Venom suit to Mr. Fantastic to please do something with this. So he puts on a Fantastic Four uniform, but he needs a mask, so he puts a bag over his head.
And you know what else they should make? I'm just saying, I want the Spider-Ham.
Oh, that would be funny.
Wouldn't that be fun?
That would be funny.
That would be a blast.
Maybe when the Spider-Man 2 game comes out, which, by the way, I've heard rumors will be on the PS5.
Well, I intend to get it, so.
Yeah, I'm going to have to save my pennies.
Me too.
So I'm going to save my pennies.
Slow but sure.
But, all right, so another segment here before we get into any news. I always like to do a what you've been watching on Disney Plus. Now, I recently watched.
That's nice.
And I know I've seen it before, but I don't always remember everything about it. But I have watched The Black Hole.
Oh, yes.
From, I think it's 79, 78,
78, 78 79.
It's, they consider it a bit of a repercussion off of the Star Wars phenomenon. But I have heard that it was in production before Star Wars was out.
Speaking of which, that this just happens to be the case. This week, I just happened to be watching some movies. I don't know how I saw them. I guess it's because I was watching some things on YouTube about Star Wars. And I saw a thing that said...
Are we going to trace a very long rabbit trail? Because we got to get back at Black
Hole. No, we'll get right back to this. There were some movies that some guy quote-unquote said that he created Star Wars before Star Wars. And it was called Star Crash. And it came out in 1978 into 79. And it's like one of the worst films you're ever going to see.
So
look it up on YouTube. It's there, Star Crash. And then they even have a Star Crash 2.
Oh, wow.
But Star Crash 2... technically is a StarCraft II. It's just that this person that made this film that has nothing to do with the first one uses a couple of little clips from StarCraft, and so therefore they call it StarCraft II.
Oh, wow.
But it's, oh, anyway, the point is that
there's some foreign film that actually lifted clips from Star Wars and put it in the background.
Yes, it shows this on the thing I saw on YouTube.
Yeah, I've seen that too.
Back then, they made all these films that were based basically Star Wars, including The Black Hole. I used to have toys of The Black Hole.
I had bed sheets of The Black Hole.
There you go.
But I hadn't seen the movie. I knew nothing
about it. I even have the comic books.
Oh, neat.
The Black Hole, I do.
So, but anyways, I watched it, and, you know, there's been a lot of talk, it happens and it goes away, of Disney trying to remake The Black Hole.
I've heard that.
Because the effects they could do, they couldn't make it better.
Yeah.
And maybe I have heard they didn't quite get the ending they wanted. Yeah, they wanted to show a bit more after they come through the hole.
Yeah.
But basically, a lot of it, it's like 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea if the captain really was evil.
Yeah, if he was really bad.
But really, it's
kind of
it's actually
hell type of thing.
Yeah, you kind of it looks like he's in hell, and they go through. But you're supposed to be your main characters come through, and they were going to have an adventure. It was going to be in a different world on the other side, but they didn't get a chance to do that.
In my opinion,
that would have been great.
Kind of you know how Netflix, in my opinion, has made a very interesting show out of Lost in Space.
I still need to watch that.
It's pretty good.
I hear
they changed a few little things, but it's pretty good. It'd be interesting to me to see them do that with a Black Hole on Disney Plus. If they made a series of the Black Hole now and kind of take it to the place they originally wanted to go, but you know, couldn't. They did the best they could.
Like they've gone through the other side, but now they're lost.
Yeah.
They want to find a way back home.
That would be neat.
That would be pretty neat.
I'm sure people would say they're trying to do Lost in Space, but in reality, they could take the original concepts of the Black Hole. I think that would be really snazzy.
And really, I think the Black Hole is more similar to a Star Trek. It's very cerebral and heady. I mean, you do have some fun action there towards the end of it, but it's a thinking movie and suspenseful. And really, if you haven't watched it, you got to go check it out. I don't want to say too much and ruin any bits of it, but it's a little scary because you have this scary Maximilian robot, and you know, you even have Anthony Perkins in there. Of course, he's not really a bad guy, but he's got the admiration for I can't think of the guy's name now, the bad guy, but yeah. And then, there is a very dramatic, Disney's first PG was this movie.
Yeah.
And mainly, I think because of Maximilian, when you see what he does, and they don't show enough, but it's very Hitchcocky, and you feel it.
Well, Anthony Perkins, even though he's not the villain, he still has the same type of thinking he had from Psycho. As far as he carries that
demeanor.
Yeah. Where he's still your comic. Ooh. Ooh. Of course, as a kid, me coming away from, coming away from Star Wars, I fell in love with the little robot.
Yeah, Vincent and Bob.
Vincent, was it Vincent the one who was all messed up?
Bob's the one who was all messed up. Bob was built in Texas.
Yes, I loved.
Bob had his accent. Bob was great. I loved him too.
Bob. I had the toy of them.
Oh, cool.
Yes, I did. I loved him.
And I need to look this up and find out for sure, but Vincent sounds an awful lot like Roddy McDowell.
It could be,
because he does great voice at work.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he was doing a lot of science fiction, and he was popping up in a lot of things back then.
Oh, yeah, back
then. Good old Roddy McDowell. But, yeah, that's my recommendation of what we watched on Disney Plus. And actually, just yesterday, we watched some other great movies on Disney Plus of old Disney movies, which we'll talk about those, of course, next week. And what I like to call, what are you watching on Disney Plus? Now, did you watch anything special on Disney Plus this week?
I did. I watched a couple things. One of them, that I introduced my nephew to Gargoyles.
Nice.
And you know what's funny? It's humorous to me is my other nephews that they happen to come down and watch. They walked in the middle of it, and they're like, "What is this silly thing?" And all of a sudden, their eyes popped open when they said, "Man, the animation is good." They said, "It reminds me of Batman animated series." I said, "You know why? Because Batman was so big at the time when it came out," and they started getting into it. And when it was over, I could tell they wanted to see more. And I said, "You guys want to watch another one?" They said, "Yeah, later. Can we watch some more?" So I could tell they're really into it.
Yeah.
I said, there's rumors that Disney might be making a movie or something like that.
They've been talking about it, bringing it back.
I said, yeah, I still got some toys in them somewhere. They said, find them. I said, oh, I will. So it's funny how even though it's been all this time, over 25 years, it still reaches out to the young.
Yeah, it's still good. We need to move on. I got a game I'm going to play with you.
Sure.
So
Here's what we're gonna do now.
Old Disney.
Here's what we're gonna do now. You can't look at my screen.
Oh, I'm not looking.
You can't look at my screen. I'm going to read for you some lyrics. Now these are lyrics of Disney songs.
Okay.
I took through Google Translate and moved it from one language to another about 5-6 times.
Oh my!
And then
goodness.
Brought it back to English.
Oh my goodness!
Now I want to read you some lyrics and see if you can tell me what song this is.
Okay.
All right. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Okay. They're not as difficult as you might think, or I would have hoped, unfortunately. The idea is that these lyrics come out funny if you do it enough, and you're going to get this right away. But let me read the whole thing, because
sure.
There may be some funny in the lyrics. I haven't read over all of it.
You go ahead, and I won't guess until you tell me.
The second star is on the right, light you at night. I will tell you the dream you are planning. This can be done in practice. The second star is on the right, shines with a strange light, and if you do not need land, his light will lead you there. Shining little star, this way we will find out where you are. Shining over the sky, take us to the land we dream of. And after our trip, every time we say goodnight, we thank the shining star. Second is true. Now, you know what that is.
I know what it is, but only by one or two words. It almost sounds like Yoda should be singing that.
I know. Well, that's part of the fun, is it? Because it messes the lyric up, but I didn't. I probably should have ran it a few more times to really mess those lyrics up to make it hard, but I just like that it ends with second is true.
Second star to the right. Second is true.
Yes. That was pretty obvious.
Star to the right. Yeah, Peter Pan.
Now this one you're probably going to get too, because I probably should have messed them up more, but I wanted them to still be resembling what they were supposed to be.
Otherwise, we'd just be speaking Klingon, right?
Yeah. But here we go. So here's the other one, and I'll bet you'll get this one too. This is the slaughter of the world. This is a world of tears. This is a world of hope. And this is a world of fear. We share the same. This is what we are looking for. After all, this is a small world. 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 He is the youngest boy. It is only the moon and the golden sun. And a smile says it. Subscriptions for everyone. Although the mountains are divided and the sea is huge. After all, this is a small world. After all, this is a small world. After all, this is a small world. After all, this is a small world.
Well, I'm not sure which one that one is. You stumped me on that one.
But I just love some of the weird absurdities you get
after
in the verses.
All, this is a small world.
Yeah, but I don't know how it got to the first line. This is the slaughter of the world.
Yeah, like, what is that?
You don't expect it to be small world.
Of life. Yeah. What is that?
Yeah, that's supposed to be the first word. But somehow, after I went through Russian, and I think I even changed it into Hebrew, and about 5 or 6 other languages before I brought it back to English. And this is the slaughter of the world. When I saw that as the first line, I'm like, oh, this is too perfect. Because small world has become the slaughter of the world. I mean, come on.
I thought, my gosh, what song is this?
You wouldn't expect it to be small world. So, yeah, but I also like subscriptions for everyone.
Yeah, I was like, what is it?
I don't even understand how I got to that point. That's everybody gets you get a subscription, and you get a subscription, and you get a subscription. What do you subscribe to? Hopefully this podcast. So, I mean, oh, golly, that was just great.
Subscriptions for everyone.
Subscriptions for everyone. But all right, now it's time to get into some news for the rest of the show.
Okay.
Spanning the Disney and geek universe to bring you the best in comics, toys, movies, and entertainment. This is news from around Neverland.
Okay, so some early morning magic tanks have been added for the Magic Kingdom, and I can't move this. I'm charging my voice recorder here, but okay, so you're familiar, I'm sure, with early morning magic anyway, right?
I've heard of it.
Early morning magic is when you're staying in the resort property, you can get into some, it's usually like one day you can get into this park, and one day maybe you can get into that park.
Yes, I have heard of that.
So so Magic Kingdom, and this is Walt Disney World, of course, they're beginning your day trip to Fantasyland with early morning magic, you'll have access to the Dreamland experience attractions. Now, does it say when they're going to switch these up? Anyway, you know, I might have just found, because since they've added some dates, I guess there's only specific dates. I remember when I went, there was only one day, I think, we could go to certain parks, and there was also after hours. But they have, I do have a listing of the early times you can go in. But anyway, so here's the attractions in the Magic Kingdom. Small World,
After all, it's a small world.
Oh, yeah, after all.
It's a slaughter, after all.
Yeah, that's right.
Bad Tea Party, The Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh.
Awesome.
Which is a good idea, because that one gets a big long line.
Oh, yes. Great ride.
And the other one gets a super long line that you never get to get into. Peter Pan, that's right.
That's right.
Peter Pan's Flight, The Princess Fairy Tale Hall, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, and Under the Sea, Journey of the Little Mermaid.
Well, I'll tell you, I've yet to get to do the Seven Dwarfs. I want to do it.
I'll get back there
Peter Pan is still my favorite ride.
I have never got to ride it.
And the one in Disneyland is a smidge different, just a smidge different than the one in Disney World. Not by a lot, but there are a few little differences, just the I don't know if I should say the roughness of it, but just a little few little differences. But that was Disney's favorite ride.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Did Disneyland update the queue where it's like you get to see inside the bedroom and you're hanging out? And well, Disney World apparently added a lot of animations.
Well, when I went to Disney World, I didn't
know if Disneyland did it.
Last time I went to Disney World, I didn't get to do it because they were working on it, changing everything around. And it was really heartbreaking because, you know, that's my favorite.
Yeah, so I want to ride it.
I was so upset. But when I went to Disneyland this last year, I got to do it a couple times, although I'll be truthful. For me, it was a little hard because I just had the brain surgery.
Oh, yeah.
And my head was a little rough, but there was no way on God's green earth that I was going to miss out on Peter Pan.
You know it.
It was but I love that ride. That's just,
did they have like the neat queue things where, because like I've seen some video from like way back. I know Walt Disney World did some stuff where you can see Tinkerbell kind of fly around.
I'm pretty sure it does, but to be honest with you, at the moment, I'm having a hard time remembering. Okay. I'm pretty sure, yes.
Friends of the Magic is coming in August, and I'm going to try to get there to represent my show. I've had people represent me there, which is great, but I'd love to be there myself, especially since I've never been.
I am pretty sure they did change some things up a little
bit. I'm going to try and get myself there. I can't guarantee anything, but, you know, I do have a solid job now comparatively, so we'll see.
Another great ride that they have in Disneyland, there's a few of them that they don't have in Disney World, one of them being the Pinocchio ride.
Yeah, and that's not right now listed because we're talking, of course, Walt Disney.
Oh, sure. Sorry, go ahead.
I don't want to get too far off on another tangent. Although, I mean, heck, last week we just tangented all over the place with my guest. It was fun. But
go ahead, man.
Because, there's more stuff to come here with these early magic things. They have breakfast at Cosmic Ray Starlight Cafe, and we got some scrambled eggs.
Awesome.
Smoked bacon. Wonderful. Sausage. Breakfast potatoes, one of Heather's favorite things the place that's somewhere by us, and they have the Mayberry Omelette. Wow, what is that place called? I forgot. First something? No, it's not First Watch. Big Biscuit.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, good.
First Big Biscuit. Okay. She loves breakfast potatoes. Anyways, pancakes, freshly baked pastries.
Very
donuts, good. Donuts, cheese and cured meats.
Very good.
Seasonal fruit, oatmeal, granola, yogurt, assorted juices, coffee, and teas.
Oatmeal's good for you. Good way to start the day.
So if you want to be healthy, or if you just want a good old down home, because you might want a hearty breakfast to get you through the day until you get a chance for lunch, but you also don't want to be having anything weighing you down if you're going to go ride something like, I don't know, Splash Mountain, maybe, or not really so much Splash Mountain as Big Thunder Mountain.
Big Thunder Mountain.
You know, or Space Mountain, even.
I learned last time when I went to Disneyland, I wasn't originally going to eat anything, and then I started thinking, now, wait a minute, you got a whole day. You better get something before you eat. And I did, and oatmeal did it, and it kept me going through the whole day. Well, through the whole morning into the afternoon, that is. Good stuff.
So the event, each day they're going to do this, it starts at 7:45 a.m. until 10 a.m., because I think Rope Drop is around 10 a.m. I might be wrong about that, but I've never been to Rope Drop. Breakfast is going to be available from 8 to 10. Rope Drop is when they drop the rope and let everybody in.
I thought you meant like a ride.
Now, these are special. Normally this would be, I would expect this to be like a resort special, but look, cost of this special event, $89 plus tax for adults and $79 plus tax for kids. So I guess this is a special ticketed event, and so maybe your breakfast is included. That's my guess, because it mentions breakfast starting from 8 to 10.
I see.
Which, you know, grab your breakfast quick and keep going, ride all the stuff you can.
Yeah, because you don't want to miss out.
Currently, the dates available for this, January 28th and 30th, February 2nd, 6th, 11th, 13th, 18th, 20th, 25th, and 27th, March 1st, 3rd, 10th, 15th, 22nd, 26th, 29th. Let's just say we got dates going all the way up through July here listed, and check with your travel agent if you're interested, because I don't want to list out every stinking date. But there are specific dates that you
It's not every day.
It's not every day. And if I had a calendar, because February 2nd, that's a Sunday.
Yeah.
Because that's Groundhog Day, and that's also Super Bowl Sunday, brother.
Which I think is interesting. So, you know what I hope that means when it comes to Groundhog Day, that is.
But
I hope that that means that it provided.
That groundhog comes up with Mahomes.
That's what I'm hoping for, brother. And I hope it happens every year.
So,
But it seems like every 4 to 5 days, because the next one is on the 6th. So you got like on a Sunday. So they're doing like, I think, odd days that they hear not some busy, because I don't think Sunday is super busy over there. So it looks like they're trying to get people into the parks on those kind of unusual days.
Yeah.
So if you're planning a trip, you're going to be there for more than a few days, and you're going to try to go on a little bit of off time. Especially January is kind of an off time. So if you want to, you know, if you're planning to go by the end of this month, so you probably got your trip planned. All right, now Hollywood Studios, a little bit different, because they got an early morning, and this will actually going to give you access to Toy Story Land before the park officially opens to the public. So that's Slinky Dog Dash, that's Alien Swirling Saucers, Toy Story Mania, and some meet and greets with Buzz, Woody, and Jesse. All right, breakfast is also going to be included with this ticket, and it will be served at select quick service locations outside of Toy Story Land with a buffet. And it's got yogurt, fruit, pastries, assorted cereal, main dish of choice, avocado toast, or fried chicken served with a cronut. So not bad.
Cronut?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. A cronut. It's probably a donut with coconut or something. I don't know.
A donut made from crow.
I hope not. But now the entrance to the park is going to begin at 7:30. It'll go until 10 a.m. Tickets are $79, so it's $10 less for adults and $69 for kids. And as of right now, we don't have the dates available. We don't know when to start or even when they're on sale. But if you keep checking the Walt Disney World website, you should be able to find some more info on that one. So, yeah, some early morning hours. And I'm kind of surprised because I thought it would have been like staying in a resort. You get extra magic hours, but it's not an extra magic hours. This is a hard ticket event.
Really?
Yeah. But you know what? I'm pretty excited for Onward, I gotta say. A sneak peek of Onward is, of course, going to be in Disney parks. Of course, we expect this. They do this all the time.
Yes.
The film is set to be released on March 6th. We gotta go, buddy.
I want to see that, yeah.
But let's see. They had a special message from Octavia Spencer, who's playing the Manticore in the film, announcing that they were going to have this. Let's see. Sneak peeks will be shown in Tomorrowland Theater in Disneyland, and as far as the Walt Disney World Presents attraction in Hollywood Studios. Guests aboard select Disney Cruise Line sailings in February and early March can also see the special look of the film. And I'm sure I won't get on there myself, but maybe Eric will manage to get out there and check it out for us and let us know what he got to see.
Yeah.
Or you might be, I don't want to know anything until I get in there. I'm just super excited. I just want to see it. Because it's Pixar, you're going to like it.
Oh, yeah.
I have not still yet seen a Pixar movie that I didn't like. Even if it's not my favorite, I still like it.
It's not that you don't like it, but you may not like it as much as
the other ones. Because I even liked Good Dinosaur. A lot of people didn't like that. I enjoyed it. It was stressful.
Yeah.
But it was good drama. It was a good adventure. It wasn't as good as this one,
but it was still
amazing
good.
In its way as being a Western.
Yeah.
It was like a Western Boy and His Dog.
Yeah.
That's what got me. I was like, this is creative.
The animation was great.
Yeah.
The style was different, but it was good.
Yeah, and plus Sam Elliott.
You gotta love Sam Elliott.
Come on.
How can you not?
Woo! Now, speaking of, after all, it is a small world of slaughter and subscriptions.
After all.
There is a refurbishment.
It is a small world.
A refurbishment is set to begin in the Magic Kingdom. Now, let's see. I don't know if they have a... they're starting it on January 27th. They're going to do a refurbishment. A temporary entrance has been installed near the Tangled Stroller parking area, but they do plan to get it back to its regular entrance in the spring. So I guess they're mainly it's the queue area of the attraction is going to be closing. So the ride itself will be available, but the queue area, I don't know what they're doing in the queue area. Might not be that much because they're going to have it back in the spring. So a little refurbishment, maybe it's just some repairs. I don't know that they're adding anything special to it. I think, I don't know when I was there. I don't know that the facade was as intricate as what Disneyland has. I mean, I do remember it had the big clock, but I don't remember watching it while I was there. We were just kind of moving through the queue. We moved fairly quickly through. I think we had to wait like half an hour. Didn't take too long. Josh didn't seem too excited to get on there, but I was like, it's an icon. I've never been on it. So, So he was like, all right, I'll suffer through it. And I remember when you watch my video of it, you can see me starting the video as we go in. And then I was like, okay, we get the idea. I don't need to video the whole thing.
But
it's still fun to go through, but
there's something about I love both Disney World and Disneyland. But I will say, as far as that ride goes, there's something about the Disneyland one that is more iconic to me. More iconic.
Yeah, it's the original one.
It is, and it's just built different, and it just has a different
feel. And they have some new things in there, too.
It does. Added. It does.
So they got characters in there.
And at Christmas, it's different, too. I don't know if they do it in Disney World. I don't know if they do it.
No, see, in Walt Disney World, they try to keep everything the same way because it's more of a tourist attraction.
Yeah.
Disneyland, they know they've got a lot of the locals that come by. So.
But they do this thing where they go through different Christmas songs.
Yeah.
And it's really, really cool.
They jingle shells.
They'll go through, they go Jingle Bells, and it goes, it's a small world, Jingle Bells, and it's
so mix it with Jingle Bells.
And then at the end,
and then like Jingle Shells, because they have the Little Mermaid section and stuff.
And then at the end,
they get creative. I like it.
The halls with bells, and it's so great to see this whole world of people celebrating Christmas together.
I think if I ever ride it again, I want to go around Christmas time to Disneyland and ride it like that. The holiday edition would be special.
It's a wonderful feel. Here's the funny thing. I got kind of tired of It's a Small World when I went to Disney World, because I did like three times with my nephews and then and I got like, how good can it be? And then I like it, but you know. And so then I went to the one in Disneyland. I'm like, I didn't expect it to be very fun because I got kind of tired of it. So then when I went to it and it ended up being that, I thought, wow, this actually kind of changed my mind. I actually am a big fan of It's a Small World again. It took me back to being a little bitty child.
Oh, isn't that sweet, though?
And I'm kind of that way now. Yeah. When people talk negative about It's a Small World, I won't say mad, but I get defensive for it.
Yeah, and people talk bad about it, but we all still kind of have a soft spot for it. It's special. It's just that song is such an earworm, but that's actually credit to the Sherman Brothers. It is a great song.
But the thing is, when
I think
about what the Sherman Brothers did, when you hear them talk about that song,
it was a prayer.
It's a prayer for world peace.
Yeah. For all of us to realize that we're not all that different.
We are.
It is a small world. After all, it is a small world.
Incidentally, yes. And incidentally, I am a preacher. I'm a pastor. So when I say this, I say it true. God made us all to be of one of his children.
Yeah.
And I'm saying this not to be preachy. I'm saying this to say that we are all one.
And we're all very, very different, but we should be able to celebrate what makes us different. Although sometimes people, their differences, they're doing some bad things.
Yeah.
But, you know, everybody does bad things.
Being different is not the problem, though,
is when you're doing the bad thing.
That's right. Everybody makes mistakes, but change for those mistakes.
Yeah. And just remember, when people do bad stuff, you do bad things too. Maybe their bad stuff is, you know, you're not killing people.
Yeah.
But, you know, all of us all together, you know, we're all humans. We're all going through this experience in different ways, but yet we're all somehow or another underneath. We still generally all can laugh and love and hate, and you know, we experience it all. We just experience it all in different ways.
When you listen to the lyrics of It's a Small World, it even says all that, all under one, you know, moon under one sun.
Yeah,
and it's so awesome.
All on this planet together.
That's right. I like
it. And doggone it, even if you can't agree with anything on your neighbor, you can get along with them.
That's right.
If you don't have, you know, you'll cry at their funeral, but you don't want to go on vacation with them, as Mark Lowry has said, you know. But anyways, some other neat stuff. You've never gotten to play a Kingdom Hearts game, though, have you?
I've always wanted to, and I've seen people do it, and I've had toys of it, but I never...
I still need to, like, finish, like, the first one.
The toys, because the
I got
Disney.
Sidetracked. I got sidetracked from Kingdom Hearts, because the game played on the first one, it's neat, but I don't like the combat, and it's constant. I get bored. It gets redundant. But they have these neat little pins available, and
really?
Disney Parks exclusives. Was Kingdom Hearts characters. No, I'm not too worried about, you know, getting Sora with Goofy and Donald there. But I want the Mickey with the Keyblade.
Of course.
I kind of want that.
Same reason why I bought some of the action figures. It's really not because of these characters in the game. It's just because of the Mickeys and the...
You're right.
I bought the one with Tron. Because it's Tron. Like when they originally brought him out, the first ones, I bought the one that had Beast, because I'd never seen an action figure like of Beast like that. Where it really, back then, it was kind of rare where they really, really looked like it came out of the movie. And it kind of popped out of the movie to me. And I was like, oh, man.
And this Kingdom Hearts 3, man. I got this collection set that had everything. The full HD and remastered versions of like 2 and 3, and then all these handheld ones. So I thought I could maybe play through those and be ready for 3. But like I said, I kind of got stuck on the first one. And when I get stuck, I'll try something a bunch of times. But if I don't get through it, sometimes I get sidetracked and I want to play something lighter, and then it'll be a while before I get back to it. Unfortunately, that's happened to me now with Jedi Fallen Order, because, oh, it's a great game. But I kind of got stuck fighting this Ninth Sister, and so I got sidetracked. I'm like, okay, well, I need to go and take a break from this. Let's play something else.
And then my friend Brian, known as the real Brian on the Real Brian Show, is trying to do his first playthrough of Spider-Man, and I wanted to kind of help him out with some of the stuff. He'd forgotten some of the controls, and so I pulled out my copy of Spider-Man while I was talking to him over Discord, and I started playing with Spider-Man again. I'm like, oh, man, this game's good. You know what? I want to go through this again. So I started playing Spider-Man again, mainly also because I wanted to get – I saw when he was playing on Twitch, I'm like, Brian, those are new costumes. I got to get those.
I just started playing it again yesterday for a while. My cousin.
Did you ever finish it?
No, I never finished my
You need to finish it.
Yeah, that was fun.
Such a great game.
Yeah.
Such a great game. Oh, but you know what? Star Wars Night is coming to Disneyland After Dark.
Oh.
Yes, sir. So Disneyland After Dark is coming back, and they're going to have a Star Wars theme August 27th. And you get to have – there's unique entertainment, some different foods, and some photo ops. So you get access to Disneyland Park after hours, beginning 6 p.m. There's going to be Star Wars fireworks, a galactic dance party, character encounters, enhanced decor – exclusive event merchandise. There you go.
Oh, it be
Star Wars inspired food and beverages, immersive Star Wars themed photo ops, unlimited digital downloads of Disney photo pass pictures taken during the party. But there are a limited number of tickets going on sale. Excuse me, going on sale in Disneyland.com. You can find out when you can get those tickets.
Uh-huh.
Now, August 27th. I'm thinking I need to go look when Friends of the Magic is. If that's coming across that day, that thing, I'm getting me a ticket. Star Wars times.
I know, but listen.
Gotta get the Star Wars.
Not to get the ticket.
You gotta buy the merchandise. I want a lightsaber.
I hear you, buddy.
I want a droid.
If you could choose a lightsaber, now I know that we're Jedi at heart, but what color would you really want? If you had to, would you want a green?
Yeah, that's the thing. I find myself in games, I like to favor the green saber. I don't know why, because I'm not a big fan of green, but somehow or another, I like green lightsabers.
You know,
although getting a weird color might be fun, like
purple. It would be fun, but you know, there's a part of me
that, don't like yellow saber, unfortunately, but
there's part. It's funny how it depends on my mood.
Yeah.
I guess it's a mood.
It's a mood thing.
But
I love the color red, and I love blue. But
I can always go back to the blue for the sake of old school me.
Yeah.
But there is a part about the yellow I like. The old school me of the old action figures of Kenner that I used to have. Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
And there's something about that. Whenever I saw that.
I think it's like that first movie, that it almost looked more white.
It did. It had a white.
That's why they did the yellow.
They were trying to color it a little bit. The thought of them with the yellow makes me think of when I was a kid, and I would be down right where I'm at right now is the basement where I grew up in, and I remember all the thousands, and I'm very, very, I'm not really exaggerating that much, the thousands of lightsaber battles that I had right here with Luke and Vader and Obi-Wan, and I'm telling you right now, it was yellow lightsabers that we had more than anything else.
Yeah, especially because, you know, I had my old wiffle ball bat, and that was my lightsaber, and it was yellow.
Yeah,
I think, like, because it seemed like the blue was very rich traditional, and red is very traditional Sith. But when you have that green saber, when Lucas comes and he's ready to go. That's it. I don't know. And then when Qui-Gon had one, and I love Qui-Gon. I really do. I love Qui-Gon.
He's one that I wish they'd make if they could find a good actor to do it, because you can't beat my man
Liam Neeson, brother.
But I would like to see a young movie of him. If they could computerize it.
Yeah, even if they just...
I love...
An animated series.
There you go.
Dave Filoni, brother, please. Give me a Qui-Gon series.
I'm a Liam Neeson fanatic.
I would love a series of watching Qui-Gon with a younger Obi-Wan, like a child Obi-Wan.
Oh, yeah.
Where he first takes him on a
bad one. Or somebody kidnaps him and he says...
Even go back as far, because didn't Dooku train... Dooku trained under Yoda, but didn't Dooku train Qui-Gon?
Something... I don't know, but I do know this. Somebody could kidnap one of his students, and he could say, I know where you are.
I know where you're going with this one.
I will find you.
I have a certain set of skills acquired over a lifetime of training.
Through the Force. I will find you, and I will kill you through the Force.
As the Living Force says to him, be merciful.
That's right.
The Living Force can be merciful, but
I will not.
I will not strike you down in anger, but I will strike you down. Mickey Donuts.
Oh.
Yes, brother.
Oh, boy.
Look at these. Look at these. They're on sticks.
Oh,
Mickey Mouse Donuts.
That is cute.
Now, what's funny is, like, on Chip and Company, they're saying, is it a donut? Is it a crispy treat? Well, it's kind of both. They're Mickey Donut Krispies. It's a Rice Krispie treat covered with chocolate and sprinkles. Resembles a donut
and apparently has a surprise inside filled with peanut butter.
Oh!
Yes, it's at the Candy Palace on Main Street USA in Disneyland Park or the Trolley Treats at Disney's California Adventure. Only $5.99.
Well, let me tell you this. It's as if they went to my biggest dreams and added 1,000 calories and said, fill up here.
Yes.
Plus peanut butter.
Oh, I love peanut butter.
Yes, with the crunch.
Woo-hoo-hoo. And peanut butter, the crunches is getting me all in there. And I mean, I'm in, Captain.
Crunch.
Peanut butter. Now, look here at this. There's Kylo Ren's ship.
Awesome.
This, my friend, is a mug.
That's a mug?
That's a mug.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, an exclusive seat. And you take out the little centerpiece and drink it. $8.49. Kylo's TIE Fighter is available at Galactic Grill in Disneyland's Tomorrowland.
That is cool, though.
So you get a choice of drink, and the cup actually fits right inside of this little toy. Now, I think it was maybe the cup might be separate. I don't know. From looking at what we're seeing, it's very neat. It looks like it's just a TIE Fighter.
Yeah.
If you don't want the drink, you can get Kylo's ship with a side price for $19.49. But there is a limit, one per guest per transaction.
I would like to have one of those.
Yeah. You can order them on mobile. They're available at Galactic Grill. I think Walt Disney World, I guess, does have them, but I've not seen where Walt Disney World it would be. But it's probably the same type of thing, Galactic Grill. All righty. But now, February the 8th will be the premiere of a brand new parade in Disneyland. Magic Happens.
Oh.
But there will be a sneak peek here. Well, actually, I guess what this sneak peek is, and you can find these on the Disney Parks blog, they've released some pictures of some floats. We got Tiana and Naveen.
I noticed that, yeah.
A very swampy-looking float.
Yeah, it looks nice, though. I can see it, yeah.
Here's Cinderella and a very nice little pumpkin.
That's very pretty.
These pictures.
They're beautiful.
These are not photos. They're
no, they look like they're water colors.
Yeah, Merlin and old Newt there.
Oh, that's nice.
That's that Naveen. But, yeah, we got to see a few pictures. Apparently there was a Sleeping Beauty one shown as well, but yeah, the Disney Parks blog has some pictures. Go check them out.
Yeah.
Oh, this brand new parade, and it's February the 28th in Disneyland coming down Main Street.
Very pretty.
And, okay. I love Reese's Pieces.
Oh, me too.
They're still my top favorite, but look at this picture. That's pretty neat. There's going to be an M&M's store at Disney Springs. At Walt Disney World Resort. We've gotten to see, say, a planned bit of artwork. There's planned artwork. I'm not sure exactly when this is happening, but it's an M&M's retail. I bet you can find, like, you know, little toys and stuff.
Awesome.
Did Kobe Bryant die? I just got distracted by the TV scene because it said Kobe Bryant 1978-20 to 2020. Like wow. I mean, he's younger than me. Oh, my God. And a helicopter crash.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. I'm sorry. This podcast just took a sudden right turn. Some breaking news is on this TV. So 5 dead in California helicopter crash, and among some Kobe Bryant. So, okay, I was about to say.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
So that's wow.
Ooh.
I feel like this is breaking news, except for this is a recording. You're going to hear about it later.
Very sorry. To you, Kobe Bryant, to your family.
All righty. Well, we don't know the new location is currently under development next to Splitsville Luxury Lanes for that M&M store that I was talking about. Expecting to find some M&M's toys, lots of different candies, maybe some special flavors.
Remember the M&M's toys they had where they were dressed
Star Wars?
Star Wars, remember all those? I gave them.
Yeah, you did. I still have those.
Yep.
But, oh, yeah. They might bring them back maybe at the store. Wouldn't that be something? All right, so Walt Disney Resort, the Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run, it's going to have an added FastPass Plus service beginning February 19th at Walt Disney World. You should be able to get it on your My Disney Experience app. So if you're planning to visit after February 19th or on February 19th, you can now reserve a FastPass for the Millennium Falcon. Now, the thing is when you FastPass things, you tend to miss the queue. And from what I've seen, the queue is kind of worth it. It's just neat. So hopefully you wouldn't miss too much. You know, but I mean, really, as long as you get in there in time and you get to see, Hondo, if you get to see Hondo and Anka, that animatronic, if you get in that pre-show, I'd be okay, I think, with missing some of the other parts of it, maybe, but I think it's the first time I ride it, I want to see it all.
Yeah, you don't want to miss anything.
I wouldn't
miss. I haven't gotten to see everything, of course, you know, but I've seen the, What's the name of the ride I was on? Was that Smuggler's Inn?
The Millennium Falcon and Smuggler's Run.
Yeah, okay.
That's the only ride they have, all except for Rise of Skywalker, just opened.
Just opening.
A few weeks ago, Disneyland just opened it like a week ago.
Yeah, I haven't gotten to do that one, of course, but I've done the Smuggler's Run, and that one is fun. It's a lot of fun.
I want to try it. I'm very excited. What I've seen of Rise of the Resistance looks amazing.
Yeah, I can't wait to try all that. But I'm going to tell you, Smuggler's Run is a lot of fun. There's something about being in the Falcon. When you go in there and you're sitting at the table, and now I'm going to tell you something. Those seats are not soft because they're hard, boom. But when you're sitting in the Falcon to fly and all that, it's like sitting in the middle of your dreams.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to say it. It's like I was
dreamed of flying
sitting
the Falcon
there, and oh my gosh, I had just come out of my brain surgery this last year, and a week later I was there. And while I was there, I was able to get out of the wheelchair just for the times to do that. And being able to be there in that ship made my heart just pitter-patter.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. I was really risking arm and leg in a sense. I was risking myself because my doctors were not too thrilled with me being there. But I'd already paid for everything. What was I going to do? And besides that, it gave me something to fight for, something to fight to go for. And so I went. And there was something about getting on that ship that I felt so alive.
Yeah.
Being there. I don't know how to tell you this, but going through those four brain surgeries last year, that made me feel alive. Yeah. All of my dreams from my birth to that, right there around my 43rd birthday, it made me feel like finally I got to live something that I dreamed about my whole life.
Yeah. I'm going to get myself on there one of these days. Oh, it's happening. Man.
Who knows?
It's
happening. Together, you be Han, I be Chewie. Hey, guess what? My first time I wrote it, because I wrote it twice. First time, I got to sit in Chewie's spot.
There you go.
That was awesome. Oh, man. Hey, dude, I ain't going to lie to you. I did the dumbest thing possible, but it felt so good. I literally, at one time, I did. I'm not going to lie to you. I did. I couldn't help it.
And I bet you're not the first, and you sure won't be the last.
Oh, yeah. How could you not?
How can you not?
Let's sit in the Chewie seat.
That's right. It's the Chewie seat.
The Wookiee rubbed off on me.
That sounds bad.
That sounds bad.
Okay. Family show, Philip. Family show.
I like that.
Wow.
In spirit.
We know what you meant.
In spirit.
The spirit of the Wookiee came
out
on
of the
you.
Gutter, man.
Wow. Okay, Paige O'Hara, also known as Belle, was in Walt Disney World. She's visited Disney parks and actually over in Epcot. She surprised an audience at the showing of the Beauty and the Beast sing-along.
Oh, that's cool.
And there's a cute photo that was from the Disney Parks blog that's her standing with the Gaston actors.
Oh, that's cool.
Or one of the Gaston actors. And also, there's some photos of her with some of the merchandise they have from the live-action film that's over in one of the parks. But how neat would that be, and, you know, when Paige O'Hara comes out and sings along with y'all?
Are you kidding?
Heck yeah, brother.
Man, that would be something.
I would be like, I wouldn't be singing along. I'd be listening to Paige O'Hara.
She has such a beautiful voice.
Mm-hmm. Which is why I'm excited. Jodie Benson's coming to Planet Comic-Con this year.
Woo-hoo! I love Jodie Benson.
Yes, indeedy. The voice of Ariel, if you didn't know.
Yes.
All right, so you mentioned Pinocchio earlier. Here's a good time to get into Pinocchio. Robert Zemeckis is set to direct the live-action version of Pinocchio. Now, one of my problems I've had, Robert Zemeckis of the Zemeckis Brothers. You know, Ghost. Oh, and by the way, Naked Gun.
Oh, yes.
Lots of comedy.
He's got a good sense of humor. What hasn't he done?
I consider that a good thing. Now, a lot of these live-action films, they feel like agenda films most of the time because they have more of an agenda than the intention of really just, you know, telling a good story sometimes. But this, I like this idea. I mean, I like Robert Zemeckis as a director. He has directed some great films.
Absolutely.
So, but if the script isn't great, then, you know.
I'm hoping it follows the Disney, is what I'm hoping, the Disney story.
We'll see. Yeah. But, I mean, that's hard to live up to because, I mean, the opening of Pinocchio, you've got the wonderful song, When You Wish Upon a Star. And then, if you're not charmed enough, those clocks at the beginning, man, are so charming.
Yeah.
I love that whole thing. You are into it.
Yes.
From the beginning of that film. It's so great. So they have a lot to live up to try to make it. And I'm really starting to get kind of tired of, they make it more for the, because they feel they need to modernize it for modern audiences than they aren't just saying, hey, I bet we can add to the story to make, flesh it out a little more. Sometimes it feels like they do flesh out, and I still have enjoyed some live action, but I don't feel like they're making them for the right reasons.
Yeah, the thing is that sometimes there's really no point in making them at all. And other times it's like, I would like to see what they could do with the computer effects and with everything else. We've seen Pinocchio put in live action many times now. We've seen what they can do. I just want to see that story. By the way, this is just my personal thing. I want to see a good Pinocchio story, but I want to see, you can't undo the Disney. The Disney is so good.
They were the animated, because this is still going to be
Disney.
That's
what I'm talking about. But I mean,
can't undo the original.
The Disney, Pinocchio is Pinocchio to me. One thing I want to see too.
Because the book, I've actually listened to the audiobook of the original, and it's in short stories because it was collected, and I prefer the Disney version better, I must say. But,
well, yeah, same here. Well, my whole point is one thing that's happened because of Shrek and things like that. They've turned Pinocchio's character recently into almost a goofy cornball character, to where he's almost I don't know the right word to say here, but he seems to be a man of a high pitched voice. He's not very manly at all.
I look around and I see all this potential. You have potential.
Yeah, they did Shrek. They do it in all these commercials now. They do it, and they've done it in other cartoons too, where he basically has not reached maturity, we'll say. And it's like,
and that kind of fits though with his original short stories. He was a little jerk. He was kind of a little brat. But he never seemed to learn his lesson. I think it was supposed to be they were object lesson stories, trying to teach kids stuff. Like, see what Pinocchio did? Don't be like Pinocchio.
Yeah.
Disney turned him into a likable character where he goofed up and he did wrong.
Yeah.
But he made up for it and fixed what he did wrong.
I want to see that story, though, brought to life in a way where you can really like the character, where they can almost bring him to life. Because one thing I've seen is...
I'll bet he'll be a completely computer animated. Although I would love if they actually found a way to use puppetry.
Yes.
The puppetry, some amazing stuff of puppetry.
Yes.
That they can do. It's just amazing. Because even watching Return to Oz a couple weeks ago, there's some amazing feats of puppetry in that film.
They can do it.
Make good mixture of marionette work and everything. You can make something seem so real.
Yeah.
Giving it something practical to look at instead of computerizing the entire character would be wonderful.
Yeah.
So, but I bet it'll be all computers when we get to see the quote unquote live action production of Bambi, which has begun. So
I don't know what to think about that.
I don't know what to think about it.
I'm going
to
check it out.
I would actually like to see them have the courage to follow the book maybe a little closer. The book is rough, though. It is like a nature documentary in a lot of ways when I read the book.
Really?
And it's fascinating, but it is more, you can learn more about a lot of the animal behaviors because all the characters behave more like an animal. And Bambi isn't like this perfect hero character. He actually behaves like a buck would. And it is this interesting where he gets perspective on what man is, because they all think of man as some sort of god.
Wow.
And you have this great little moment where Bambi comes face to face with a man and realizes because he sees a wounded man. He's like, you're mortal like we are. You're just trying to survive kind of like we are in your own different way. You're a hunter like all the animals that also hunt around here. And so he comes like an understanding between nature and man. It's really a good, but yeah, the Disney version took maybe little pieces, but they made the completely different story. I have a feeling this will probably follow more of the old animated. But I would like to see them go maybe a little darker with what the actual source material was, because it is a little dark at times.
And that, I'll tell you what, that animation, especially
beautiful. The opening of that is captivating.
The 3D.
Yes. Oh.
That'll just.
Wow. That makes you want to go out in the woods for real.
Gosh, yeah, they did.
If they can capture that, but who knows what they'll do with it? Like, I don't.
Sometimes I get a little tired of the remakes into live
action. Oh, Kobe Bryant's 13-year-old daughter Gianna also was killed in the crash.
Oh my goodness!
I gotta quit looking at your screen, brother.
Yeah.
Oh, that is. But all right. So one other thing I want to get into is Captain Marvel 2 is currently in development. I have heard something about it. They're selecting a director, and I don't know if it says anything about who's been directing it. The cast includes Samuel L. Jackson, Ben Mendelsohn, Digimon Hensu, Lee Pace, Lashana Lynch, Gemma Chan, Annette Bening, Clark Gregg, and Jude Law. Written and directed by Anna Boden and Ryan Fleck. Oh, no, that's the original film. Okay, that was the original film. And some people apparently who worked on WandaVision are looking to be working on this. So we'll see when it comes around there. somebody named McDonald, I guess, was writing this. So, but that, you know, they wanted to make Captain Marvel their tentpole of this next phase of Marvel films. I gotta make her more likable. I mean, she was. Yeah. I kind of liked the movie, but I didn't like her though in Endgame. She wasn't barely in there, but just the attitude.
I really like Annette Bening.
I like her better in the comics. Say, the old comics.
If I had any complaints about the original movie, was that there was no reason to make the original Captain Marvel or Marvel a woman, in the sense that it was a man. And but that's neither here nor there. But I do hope that this film does make her a little more affable, likable. Yeah. Because
and not like she didn't act so superior.
She had kind of.
I mean, she's super. She's powerful.
She was very powerful, but she had this kind of I'm so great, and I'm looking down at everybody. And it really, to me, when you have a good guy, it's okay if they have that for a minute. For instance, Thor. Thor had some of those things, but in the first film, when he had he got knocked on his rear end.
Yeah.
And he got back up. And learn from it.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that makes the character so likable to end, that they have their frailties.
Yeah.
And they have their failures. And then they're like you. But in this case, she didn't. Not only is she not learned from it, she almost was justified for it. Because I'm so much better than you. Oh, by the way, I am so much better than you.
Yeah. And like, well, I have to guard the entire universe, and your pathetic little Earth is not on my concern. And that attitude there at the beginning of Endgame was like, ooh, ah, yuck.
Yeah, and I was kind of like, yeah, it
And even the line probably wouldn't be that bad if maybe it had been presented a little differently. She's like, you guys do great on Earth, but there's so many other planets that you aren't at, and somebody needs to help.
Yeah, it could.
So if she would have been like, I am trying the best I can. I wish all the planets had you guys, but Earth is lucky to have you, but somebody has to help. There's other planets that need help too, and I'm doing my best. If we didn't come across so smooth that look at me, I'm defending all of this, and maybe more of just like if she'd presented in a way like, hey, you guys got this covered in Earth, and I think you guys can do this, but you guys don't have a way to get out here in space yet, and I can. So I'm trying to help other ones, and I wish I could bring you guys with me. You know, if it had come across that, where she felt like she respected the Avengers a little better, but yeah, that's another tangent. But we'll see when we start getting a look at the film. You know, I'm probably going to end up seeing it, you know?
Yeah.
And hopefully it's fun, because the first one, you know, I did have some fun with it. It was an enjoyable film. There's just little things about her attitude that I think I want to see her some character growth.
Absolutely.
A little bit. All right, so let's take a quick, I'm losing my throat, but we got just enough time to go and visit the trailer park.
All right, y'all, one more time. It don't matter what you look like. It don't, nobody gonna sing with me. Okay.
The Neverland Trailer Park.
So, Morbius, now this is being made by Sony Pictures as part of, they're kind of creating their own Spider-Verse. Which is part of, I think, the pull away that nearly happened, where they're trying to pull Spider-Man away from the MCU, because they're kind of attaching stuff, because in Morbius we do see Adrian Toome show up at the end of this teaser. Mm-hmm. So there's like, they're wanting to build it and try to force things to be connected to the MCU, but yet they're building their own stuff, like with Venom, which I still didn't see.
This is all right. I don't dislike it.
But I'm just not interested.
It's just not my thing.
But so Morbius, now they're doing the same thing, and I have a feeling this is going to be an R film, because I think they're looking over at Deadpool and saying, well, we can make R-rated films. And
my opinion about these R films, and keep in mind, I'm faster.
And some comic books I can understand, you're going to get an R. I mean, you can't PG-13
something. Sure, type thing, I get it. Yeah. But you know what, in all truthfulness, I don't like is to make it R just for the sake of making R. For instance,
Joker. Yeah.
Joker didn't have to be an R. People are like, oh, it has to be an R. It's Joker. No, it doesn't have to be an R. It can be. It doesn't have to be. You can get the same story.
Yeah.
You don't have to.
They could have told that story in a PG-13. Yeah. Yeah.
You don't I think they have to have all the cursing.
Maybe just taking some language out. Yeah, and
one or two.
It'll be,
you don't have to have.
They could have made that work. Yeah, that's true.
But you can still get the same point across.
Yeah.
So now I know this is a whole other thing. But at the same time, it's kind of like with this whole other company, Sony. I wish the best for Sony, but I do wish that Disney and Sony could come to an agreement where, to be truthful, this is just my opinion, I want Disney to get it. I want Disney to win it out. First of all,
I want
to have the rights
in the Marvel Studios.
I realize what Sony wants, and I get that. They want to have their own thing.
But it's money in the bank for them. I mean,
I can understand it. I can understand why they say they wanted to spend so much. I think they were asking quite a bit too much myself. And they were talking about trillions and all that. I mean, that's quite a bit.
Yeah.
More than what it's worth. But that being said, I'm not a businessman, but still I can understand that is too much. Quite a bit too much. But
I just wish they wanted to play ball a little bit more with the MCU and maybe work together with like Kevin Feige.
The movie doesn't make anybody happy.
And, yeah.
Disney's not the bad guy.
Yeah, they're not.
People are like, oh, they just want everything. They're business people, folks.
Yeah, and you still have Marvel Studios as the one calling shots in this.
Yeah, exactly.
But Marvel Studios is having a great success rate. And granted, Homecoming didn't quit, but Far From Home was so much fun.
Yeah, I like both.
So,
but I will say,
I think you got potentially some amazing things they could do with Spider-Man. Ha ha! See what that how I did? I won that spectacular little bit of funny. They could really do They could do some stuff with Spider-Man and some of those side characters. But you know, part of the issue Sony has is they're so afraid to lose some characters that's why we don't have Harry or the real Mary Jane.
Yeah.
Or any of those characters, because they don't want to use those that they're kind of the Marvel universe could pull away. They're kind of inventing their own characters that Sony can say these are our characters.
Yeah.
And so that way they can keep their talents into the franchise, which they have the rights to.
Yeah.
So, but it's going to end up causing problems. And like I said, that's why I didn't see Venom, because it's like they're creating a Spider-Verse and they're creating villain movies. But I didn't want to see a Venom that was so far separated from Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And now, granted, now this and the teaser, did you notice on the wall a picture of the Sam Raimi Spider-Man on the wall?
Absolutely.
I want to know what that's about.
Yeah.
I want to see how they're bringing that up. And you know what? If they even started making a separate Spider-Man franchise, because you know what? That animated movie was good.
Yeah.
That could be a completely separate little franchise. I'd love to see more of that. Maybe we can get reconnected to the old Sam Raimi movies.
You know what would be fun?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is silly, but I loved in the animated thing, I love the Spider-Man, what are they called?
Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah. I like the roar, or what is it? Noir, yeah. I would almost love it if Nicolas Cage could make a movie.
That would be
a blast.
I want a Spider-Ham movie.
Me too.
That'd be awesome.
You could do a whole thing.
I mean, come on, Sony. You got some magic there going with that animation.
Go with it.
If you get some of the same team back in and write some more great animated movies and have fun with it like that, I am there.
And the thing about the Spider-Ham, they had a lot of great
characters. We haven't talked a whole lot about this Morbius movie, but that's all right.
Go ahead, man. Go ahead with it.
I just realized we're going off on Morbius tangent, but I think we've said about all we want to say.
Yeah, Morbius is a great character.
Yeah, the living vampire. I first encountered him in Maximum Carnage.
I
in the animated series, I like
read about him in the old Wizard magazine and Comic Scene. You remember the old Comic Scene magazines?
I don't know if I picked up any Comic Scene.
I still have some.
I still got some Wizard magazine.
I still have a couple Comic Scenes.
Nice.
Yep. And the fact is, in Comic Scene, they have great big pictures and parts of comic books, and I could read some of that. And I thought, I don't know much about this character. He looks like a Dracula. I said Dracula wannabe at the time.
Yeah.
And because that's what he was, except I didn't know what to think about him, but he did catch my attention. And at the same time, what really caught my attention was there's this guy called Blade, and I had not heard of him before.
Time I saw him was the animated series, too.
Yeah, and Blade really looked cool. I remember I was a freshman in high school, and I saw this picture of Blade. Blade was this awesome African-American vampire, and he looked so cool. He had this
half-vampire.
Well, whatever you want to call it, you know, but I didn't know that at the time.
Yeah.
I just remember that that was the first time I seen him, never heard of him, and he had these swords in his hand, and he was like, it said that he was a hunter, a vampire hunter, and a looking thing, and I was like, dude, you know, and I want to see this guy. And then I saw this thing of Morbius. I was like, dude, what is going on? Marvel, they're bringing out all these awesome characters. And
that makes me think.
Daredevil was on the next page. And I was like, dude, all these guys are coming together. And I like that.
The film rights to Blade. I know they've cast somebody to play Blade because they're doing Blade again.
He's a good actor, too.
Now, I don't recall, but did Sony still have the rights to Blade? Or who had the rights to Blade? Who made those films?
And, it was like an off Disney thing.
It wasn't Disney, but But what I'm saying is, I don't know who. Blade's coming back through the MCU, and maybe Marvel Studios has the rights to him. I don't know, but if they don't get an opportunity to have a Blade and Morbius movie, they're missing an opportunity. unless something gets worked out properly, because Sony, the way they're playing it, any character that kind of owes some of its existence to being a part of Spider-Man, they are trying to lay claim of.
Yeah.
Which, technically, based on that, they could have grabbed the Punisher up.
Yeah.
Because Punisher started as a Spider-Man villain.
Punisher is, I believe, Disney's, though.
Yeah, Disney, Marvel Studios has managed to keep their hooks into Punisher.
Yeah.
But Sony is looking like Morbius has been kind of a, he started out as kind of a Spider-Man villain. I'd like to see them do something with Black Cat. I mean, they've teased it there in Amazing Spider-Man 2, but then they never got to go anywhere with it.
She would have been so nice to...
There's a lot of great characters, but the unfortunate thing is, I mean, Spider-Man's, he's got long reaches to a lot of different characters that Sony could go mad and sneak. If Marvel Studios doesn't find a way to get the rights on some of these characters, Sony's going to grab it and make stuff out of lot of these. Because there's a lot of characters that started as side characters, even Blade.
Yeah.
Spider-Man side character that Marvel's getting.
No, honestly, I really hope. Sorry, Sony. I hope you lose. it shouldn't be a competition. It should be something you could do together as partners. There really is no reason to do this as a competition. It's better to do together than apart. It just is, because what will happen most, and I'm just going to say it, what will probably happen is you'll go out there and make these side films. They'll do good money-wise. They'll do good. Yeah. And you'll kind of wither up to the side. And otherwise, or you could go together with a big company, make a lot of money together, and everybody win. Yeah. Everybody. Why not work together? I don't understand. Yeah.
Make a better film. Because, I mean, it's worked out pretty well with Spider-Man for them.
Do it for the fans' sake. I mean, that's how I see it. Do it for the fans' sake.
Because they are still, you know, because those Spider-Man films, they're not on Disney Plus. Because they are still Sony films.
Yep.
So, but they're keeping them connected in, because I think they probably saw on the internet freaking out when they was going to get pulled away. Sony would have continued probably with the same cast and everything, but having to pull it away from the MCU would have lost out on so much potential for Spider-Man to be able to do other things. So we'll see. But anyways, we got to wrap this up. So I'll just wrap it up. Let's just go and hit that sounder. But you know, make sure you come back next week and we'll have some more fun.
One last thing to say. Do you have anything else to say, my friend?
No, I gotta say, Chiefs going to Super Bowl next week. You know what? We might not have. I do have a plan. I have made contact with a very highly quality puppeteer and actor that we've had on the show before. I'm hoping I will be able to talk to him early on in the week. That way we have a show next week. But if we don't have a show next week, it's because our Kansas City Chiefs are in the Super Bowl, and I might be too preoccupied to work on the show.
Thank you for listening to the Neverland Podcast.
We invite you back next week for more fun and adventure.
Until then, remember to keep a pixie in your pocket.
It's that young at heart, positive attitude that you can share with others.
And remember to visit our website at neverlandpodcast.com.
There you can find links to our news page, our shop,
our contact page, where you can easily send an email to podcast@neverlandpodcast.com.
You can also find our Neverlanders page, where you can find out how to become an official Lost Boy or Pixie, because girls are too clever to get lost.
Become a real Neverlander.
Please feel free to leave us a voicemail at 816-226-6492.
And be sure to follow us on Twitter at NeverlandPCast.
And like our Neverland Podcast fan page on Facebook.
We also have a group on Facebook for you to join.
We also appreciate your support to keep the Neverland Podcast up and running.
Visit patreon.com/NeverlandPodcast to donate to keeping the pixie dust alive.
Copyright content featured on the Neverland Podcast is copyright of their respective creators and used under fair use license.
All original content is copyright of Blue Band Productions, and a very special thanks to Yeehaw Bob Jackson at yeehawbob.com for our new ending music.
God bless!
Yeah! Hello, everybody, this is Yeehaw Bob Jackson. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Neverland Podcast, it's true. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Yeah!
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. it's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.